Well, good morning to the Wasega Community Church family and friends. This, of course, is Sunday, March the 29th, and I trust you're awake and ready to listen to what God's Word has for us today. I want to give you a couple of updates, first of all, from this week. First of all, I just wanted to know how you're all doing with your singing. I mentioned to you last Sunday that everybody should sing and praise the Lord. I was reminded this week of the song, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister." And so there you go. There's a song I haven't sung for a long time, but I was singing it all this week. Just want to give you some updates. First of all, notes of praise. Ted, of course, had his surgery at Sunnybrook this week, came through very, very well, had two stents put into his aortas. Jane and I, of course, as you know, are going around and we're doing driveway visits. So we popped in to have a driveway visit with Ted on Friday. He has a great pair of lounge pants. Most people call them pajamas, but we're calling them lounge pants. So be sure to give him a call. He would love to talk to you. And Norman May Parker, they got home safely on Friday, and they're now in their 14-day self-isolation. And we're just waiting to see as other folks cross the border. I'm sure you have neighbors and friends that are glad to be home. Quick update from Gail's daughter, Jenna. She's feeling much better, still waiting for test results, but it would appear she's come through this very, very well. Gail's brother, who works as a porter in the hospital, you know, had asked for prayer for face masks and things for the everyday staff, and they've been able to secure those. Bruce Clark, he is also doing very well and very thankful for everyone's prayers. And Donna suggested that we continue to encourage one another. I hope you're making phone calls to folks. I would suggest even get out in your car, like Jane and I have been doing, and Rebecca, and just make some driveway visits. It's a lot of fun. People are thrilled to see you, and you can laugh and chat together. So keep that in mind. Things for prayer. Grant Parsons, his shoulders are still very sore. Pain is manageable, so just remember Grant. Steve also updated us on his mom, Dawn, and his stepdad, Steve. They're going to be staying in the States. There's some issue with them trying to cross the border, and so they're going to stay down there. And also, all our young people are little, some of them are very concerned about everything, and so he wants us to pray for all the kids as well. Shauna has asked for prayer for her ex-husband, Brian. He is going to be traveling to Wasega Beach and working out some things, so we're trying to make arrangements for living accommodation for him. And many of you know Rhoda, her husband Rob. He has an ulcer on his heel that's not healing. And so in chatting with her, of course, they're trying to still be able to go into the doctors and have visits. And as you know, that's sometimes difficult to get in for consultations. And we continue to lift up Brian Brown and his family down in Milton. And also, Susan reported to us that she hasn't had hardly any communication with her daughter, Vanessa. Of course, hasn't seen her in the last 4 weeks. And so she's asking that God will continue to superintend and intervene there. And, of course, Amelia, I'm sure, misses her sister as well. And for Kurt and Irmgard in all that they're doing. Of course, Irmgard is frontline at the Tim Hortons and interacting with a lot of people. Kurt is waiting to see about work for him. And so I just want to encourage you all. Let's get out. Let's get walking. Jane and I are seeing and saying hello to people we've never met before. We didn't even know they lived on any street around us, so we don't know who they are, but it's nice to see them and wave. We have been enjoying the driveway visits with you, and so if you've got If you've got an opportunity you'd like us to come by again and visit, please don't hesitate to call, and we'll certainly be glad to come and see you. Yesterday we got offered a pizza, and Steve made some beautiful banana loaf, so we've been enjoying that. Just another thing for prayer. Kevin is asking for prayer for a police officer named Andrew who was assaulted by an unstable male and sustained some various serious but not life-threatening injuries. He's in hospital now with severe trauma. You might want to consider praying for people like those who work at the superstore. I was talking to one of the fellows at the door, and he said that he's actually had people come in and spit on him. And so we're dealing with different stressors for people. Again, if you need anything, please give us a call. Call your elder. Call myself. We have delivery teams on standby that can pick things up, or if you need a ride, we can work things out. Of course, continue to call one another. The other concern I have is for our children in our church who are trying to get some kind of online schooling, or parents are trying to homeschool. So please pray for the Van Genups and the Thompsons, the Aberdeens, the Cronins, and of course, Susan's daughters, and the Reeds with their children. Today also has been a call for a World Day of Prayer by all the churches, and so we're going to do that in just a moment. I want to tell you that I have been meeting on Zoom with pastors in our area, and we are trying to be very proactive and look for ways to reach out not only to the Christian community, but the non-Christian community. So again, don't be afraid to give a word of the hope that lies within you, but know what that word is when you're ready to give it. I had a lady this morning earlier say to me, I just don't know, everything's so crazy. And I said, yep, and isn't it good to know God's in charge? She didn't know what to say. But if it wasn't for the Lord, how much panic would we all be in? And so we're going to certainly be praying, and there's other groups that are trying to do free services. There's concerts and things. So be aware if you see of things, let others know. And the other thing is we've got six families in our church that don't have internet, and so I've asked them all to give a call to someone, or if you would like to volunteer, that while you're listening to the service, that you would let them phone you, put on the speakerphone, and they can hear the service as well. And so we trust that everybody is going to be able to stay updated. I have a birthday list here for everyone to give people a call. Audrey McMeekin, of course, March 31st, and they are out in BC now, and they've made it safely from what we understand, moving their daughter Heather out there. Cheryl has her birthday on March the 29th, and Barb Reynolds, March the 30th. So to the ladies, a very happy birthday. And then for April, Liz Brown has her birthday on the 3rd, and Donna Clark on the 4th, Suzanne on the 5th, and Tim also on the 5th. And I was just thinking, I've told some of you this, but when we all get back together, I've decided that what we're going to do is we're going to have a huge hug fest followed by a buffet with some Mandarin, with also a barbecue and a bonfire. And we're going to also get a giant cake, and everybody who had birthdays in this period can all be the ones to slice the cake together. We're going to have a blast. Just hang in with us all, and I think we're going to see some fascinating days as the Lord continues to help us. So I'm going to pray, and then I'd like to share some thoughts with you from Scripture. But let's just take a moment together. Father, this is not an easy time. Here we are coming into our second week of isolation, and the world is in turmoil. As we watch leaders on television, you can tell they're perturbed, they're anxious. This is something far beyond the realm of any individual person or nation. And Lord, as we said last week, our eyes are on you. You are in charge, and you run the world, and you are going to draw, ultimately, men and women and boys and girls to you, even through this scenario. And so, Lord, we just pray for our church family, wherever they are today, for those that are recouping, those that are in pain this day, those that are feeling very lonely, and many are, those that are missing physical touch. It's hard when we can't give hugs or encourage people. And so, Lord, may your peace be upon each and every person. And Father, remind them that they're your son or they're your daughter, and you're well aware of everything they're going through. And so, Father, for this church family, wherever they are this day, my prayer is that you would bless them, and that also this would be a week we have an opportunity to give a word of the hope that lies within us. You're an amazing God. You're doing amazing things. And may we see and be a part of what you're doing. We thank you now, and we look to you as we have a time to study your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, the topic I have decided I'd like to preach about today is called Who's in Charge? And you might recall from last week that we were looking at 2 Chronicles 20. King Jehoshaphat and Judah were being besieged. And the theme verse that came out of that in verse 12 of that chapter is, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I don't think that has changed for us. We don't know what to do in this day, but our eyes are on you. And the reason that we have our eyes on God is because he made this little ball on which we live. This little ball that's placed in his immense universe, he's looking after us. I was reading Job and some words out of Paul this week, and I'll just let these words bless you. You can look this up later. In Job 38, in verses 4 to 13, and this is Job having a chat, and the Lord's talking to Job. Of course, you know the story. Job has his body covered with boils, and he's scraping the pus off his body with a piece of broken pottery. And God says to him, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare to me, if you know understanding. Who determined the measures of the earth, if you know? Or who stretched out the measuring line upon it? Upon what were the foundations of it fastened, and who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, all the angels, shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth and issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garment of it and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and marked for it my appointed boundary and set bars and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, so that light may get hold of the corners of the earth and shake the wickedness of night out of it? I mean, can't you just hear God talking to Job in all of that? And then just some verses from one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, in Hebrews 1, and it says in verse 2, in the last days God has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and owner of all things, by and through whom he created all the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He arranged them in order. He's the sole expression of the glory of God. He's the perfect imprint of the very nature of God's image, upholding and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. And when he'd offered himself, accomplished our cleansing of sin and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. And you, O Lord, did lay the foundation of the earth. In the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain and continue permanently. They will all grow old and wear out like a garment, like a mantle. You will roll them up. They will be changed and replaced by others, but you remain the same, and your years will never come to an end or come to failure. Who's in charge? The Lord is. So this morning, I want to look at the big picture. I want you to see beyond the stresses of our community, the stress you're feeling in your home or your apartment, the stress that comes with neighbors that look so grim and almost are afraid to talk, let alone be near you, because I think everybody thinks we have the cooties. But I want to give you four thoughts as we look at this. First of all, Satan, a.k.a. Dirty Face, I call him, has always tried to keep mankind from finding Christ. Because, of course, it's Jesus who saves the world from the crushing effects of sin and an eternity in hell. Secondly, Satan has always tried to have people continually fight with each other, using any means possible, to try and gain world control. I mean, people want to control this little ball in the midst of a universe, really. But Satan wants people to be so angry and filled with deceit that they won't want to seek God. I mean, how many times is God blamed for things he didn't even do? I mean, this is the essence of real spiritual warfare. And thirdly, I think Satan has always tried to isolate individual persons and keep feeding them fear-filled lies. You know, I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus set the church in place, in part to counter such an evil intention. Do not neglect your assembling together. And then we get to the real point of it all, the big picture, the fourth point. God, since the creation of mankind, has been working in powerful ways to show his love for the human race. And we even see it today, and I want to bring that close to home as we talk about it. I want to take this fourth point, the incredible love that God has for us and the powerful ways he's working. And I'd like to use King David as the example for Scripture this morning. As you know, David wrote the book of Psalms, and the Psalms are filled with an incredible appreciation of who God is in the midst of our own frailties and our own sin and our own puniness and our own mistakes. And so I've decided to pick Psalm 33, a hymn of praise that David wrote to the Lord. But the words, again, like we said last week, are timeless. And so let these words bless you. We'll start in verse 6 and go through verse 9 as we look at this. And David says, by the word of the Lord, what? The heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. All the host refers to all the stars in the universe. And what's interesting is when you look at that phrase in the Greek, it talks about the host being part of a great army marshaled forth at God's command. They were all brought into sync by the breath of his mouth. God gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him. My prayer, and I'm sure yours is that even in the midst of all we're going through with this so-called pandemic, that the world will start to realize that they need to stand in awe of God. When God spoke, verse 9, David says, it was done. When God commanded, it stood fast or rose into being. When God spoke, things happened. And then in verse 10, he says, with regard to people, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. In reality, men must and will always have to eventually yield to God. I mean, we have it in Romans 14:11 that there's going to come a point when every knee will bow and every tongue will what? Confess that Jesus is Lord to the honor and glory of God. David goes on to say, the counsel or the wisdom or the instruction of the Lord, what? Stands forever. So when you and I are reading Scripture, it may have been written 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, but it's still the counsel of the Lord. It stands forever. And the plans of his heart are to all generations. That's your generation and my generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. As I said last week, wouldn't it be marvelous if our leadership would call a prayer meeting for the entire country? But in the meantime, we as Christians are. And we do trust in God because we believe that his will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. That's the way Jesus taught us to pray. So back to Psalm 33, David says the following: the Lord looks from heaven and he sees how many? He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually, considers all their works. You know, he's given us a free will, and he knows when people are either following him or they've turned their heart over to deceitful wickedness. And David, in another psalm, says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that what? I might not sin against thee. When you consider verse 15 again, and he considers all their works, he fashions their hearts individually. It reminds me of David in Psalm 139. You know me. You know when I stand up. You know when I sit down. The reason why I'm stressing this is because I think when we're in isolation like we are, people in their homes, and I've seen people haven't come out of their house for over a week. I've seen people won't open their blinds or come to the door. The reality is that we don't need to be afraid. He knows us. He will work with us, and we need to trust him as we converse with him. David also says that we have to be very careful that we look to the horizontal aspects of this world for security. He says in verse 16, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. I mean, what David, I think, is saying for you and I today is be careful that we don't focus on man-made creations. Be careful that we're not hiding in the midst of worldly strongholds. It's the Lord who saves us. It's the Lord who's in charge of our lives. And quite frankly, family, if it's not our time to die, it doesn't matter how strong a pandemic is, we're not going to die. I have to admit, I was smiling the other day when I read about the 101-year-old gentleman that came through the virus, and he's now healthy again. I thought, wow, 101? The Lord's saying, there's still life that you have to live, brother. And so, as I look at this, and we look at the aspect of God in charge and being there with us, does this mean that life will be smooth sailing? Well, I don't think so. Not necessarily. John 16:33, and you'll appreciate these words, and Jesus said this just moments after he talked to the disciples, remember, in the upper room, and he said, I'm going to send the Comforter to be with you because I've told you all of this so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And he goes on to say, because in the world you will have what? Tribulation, trials, distress, frustration, but be of good cheer and take courage. Be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world and I've deprived it of power to harm you. I've conquered it for you, and because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with you, you will be victorious in the midst of all the issues of life. He also says, I want to remind you that if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would treat you with affection, would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, no longer one with it, but I've chosen and selected you out of the world hates and detests you. Because why? Because Satan's trying to motivate them. Satan's trying to control them. Satan's trying to get them to fight against the reality of a God who would save them and set them free mentally and emotionally and physically. It's interesting that just moments before Jesus had said these words in chapter 15 of John, he said to the disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. or distressed or agitated. You believe in and you adhere and trust and rely on God. Believe in and hear and trust and rely also on me. My peace I leave with you, said Jesus. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. There's where our free will kicks in. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them what? Be afraid. Stop. And the Greek makes this so clear. The incentive is stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. Now, does that mean we're not afraid? Does that mean we're not anxious? No. But what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples is before all hell breaks loose and they capture me and then they crucify me, don't be afraid of that because that's not the end of the story. I'm going to rise from the dead. And for you and I living today, the Lord is with us now and he's sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, interceding for us. Paul said it in Philippians 4 and verse 8. You know it well. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever, think on these things. Now, that doesn't mean we're naive and we're avoiding the issues. But I think we have to keep a balance in our mind. Yes, there is a worldwide scenario of stress going on right now. But God's bigger than everything going on in this globe. David in Psalm 34 and 4 said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from how many? From all my fears. Paul, when he was talking to that young preacher Timothy, in his second letter to Timothy, he said, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. Don't you love the Greek? Oh, I wish our English had such an expression. But God has given us a spirit of power, love, and calm and well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so as we conclude this morning, I want to go back again to David in Psalm 33. He wraps up the psalm with these next four verses that I think are so powerful, for the next five verses. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. And so we're back to again what we started with. O Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And if he's got the whole world in his hands, he knows how to look after you and I. So let's serve him to the best of our ability this week, and let's trust him far bigger in the things that would cause us fear. Father, I just pray for this family today, stretched all over this community, some in Wasega, some in Creemore, some in Collingwood, and our friends near and far. Father, you're in charge. And there's nothing going on this world that is escaping your notice, and there is nothing going on in this world that has caught you by surprise, and there is nothing in this world that is making you anxious or fearful. And so, Lord, again, we commit ourselves to this new week. Our eyes are on you. You direct us. You sustain our lives. You bring us joy to fill us in our hearts. You show us where we can serve you and be a blessing to others. And Lord, may you continue to remind us to never take things for granted, like even being able to assemble together. I think once this is over, Lord, we are going to be so grateful to be together as a church family, praising you as Don and Donna lead us in music and as Irmgard and the teams lead us. And Father, as I have the privilege of preaching to each one face to face. And so we bless you and thank you. You're an amazing God. Our eyes are on you. And everybody said, Amen.